Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. A great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. What should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
Thank you, Tom. Please listen to the New Testament lesson from James chapter 5, verses 7 through 11. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Spirit, that we may hear with joy what you say to us this day. Amen. I told the kids that last week was the first in our sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit, and we talked about joy, love, and joy. Today is the second part of our series, and we'll be talking about peace and patience. Here we go. I've discovered that on the road to God's peace, there's not necessarily an absence of unpleasant circumstances or an absence of conflict of any kind. God's peace, the peace that passes understanding, is a peace that God gives us, especially when we are willing to deal with unpleasant situations in which we find ourselves or hear about going on in the world. Jesus knew that before we can receive peace with others, we have to receive peace from God. Peace from God comes only as we are reconciled to God, and that comes through God's gift of salvation, which comes to us through the person of Jesus Christ. So peace with God comes only through Jesus. As Christ followers, we know that there's a battle going on. It's a battle for our souls. And even though we may have accepted Jesus as our Savior, there's still a battle for our souls. There's also a battle going on for the souls of those who have not yet accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's a battle between Satan and his followers, and a battle between Jesus and his followers. There will be souls who are lost to Satan, and there will be souls who are won to heaven by Jesus. We're in the middle. Our job as the church is to do our best as the Holy Spirit leads us to win souls in this battle for heaven until Jesus returns and takes us home to heaven. Some of the souls that need to be won, are sitting in churches all over the world. Each one of us need to be continually doing our best with God's help to not give the devil any kind of victory in our lives, lest through our poor witness, someone else's soul will be lost. The first step and the key to peace with God is simply you have to trust God and trust in His only written word, the Bible. That's the first step on this road to peace with God. The Bible's a pretty good book. You have to read it if you're going to trust in God. You can't trust in God without reading the Bible. It just doesn't work. We can't know what God wants or expects from us without knowing what He has already said. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you." Well, a person who has a steadfast mind keeps their thoughts focused on Jesus. Proverbs 16, 3 says, "Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established." This means that if we take the action, even if it's a difficult action to take, even if it's hard to have our heart in the action, if we take the action, our thoughts will follow. Clean thoughts follow clean actions. So take the action, and the thoughts will follow. Honorable thoughts follow honorable actions. Thoughts of integrity follow actions of integrity. So if you take the action, just do it and get her done, your thoughts will follow. As you turn from evil and do good, your thoughts and your heart will become established. What we need to remember is that just trusting in God is an action, just as love is an action. And the feelings take care of themselves. The Bible says, "Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established." The second road, the second step on the road to God's peace is to be aware of when your own pride gets in the way. This is a difficult one for me. I really have to watch out for this in myself, and you can ask my husband for specifics. My pride usually gets in the way when I think that I always have to respond to a situation, when I think that I have to always defend myself when I'm confronted with my faults. Who of us likes to be told what our faults are? We like to think of the good things. But I've learned that, first of all, if I don't worry about punishing or getting even with the person who confronts me with my faults, then it's easier for me to keep God's peace in my heart. It's ridiculous for me to worry about defending myself. I need to begin and continually practice thanking God for sending someone to help me deal with my faults and to hear God's voice in the midst of it. A number of years ago, my husband Paul told me that if I wanted to know some practical tips on being a Christ follower, that I should read the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is in the Bible. It's a good book. You should read it. But the book of Proverbs has wonderful, practical, hands-on one-liners to help us live a Christ-like life in the midst of some pretty un-Christ-like situations that we find ourselves in each day. I'm going to share with you some verses out of Proverbs that help me to keep my pride in check, and maybe they'll help you also. They're ways that we can keep God's peace. Proverbs 16:5 says, "Everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished." Proverbs 16:8 says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." What I've learned from that is that when proud people confront us or embarrass us or tease us, remember that the Lord has already promised they will not go unpunished. Don't worry about getting the last word in on them. Obey the Lord. Over at our house, we have a poster in one of the rooms. It's a Murphy's Law poster. It's a big poster. It has all kinds of sayings from Murphy's Law. And one of Murphy's Law sayings says, "Never argue with a fool. People might not know the difference." Now, that's not the Bible. That's Murphy's Law. It's good advice, and I thought it fit. Let's go back to the Bible now. Proverbs 15:28. "The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, while the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil." And Proverbs 16:32 says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty." A person who studies how to answer is slow to anger, while the wicked are just shooting off their mouths. I want to be the person who studies how to answer and be slow to anger. Step number three, the third step on that road to peace, is the next step in committing our works to God so that we trust vengeance into the hands of the Lord. I've needed to learn to wait patiently for the Lord to act. Patience has not come naturally to me. I need to wait. And I have found that as I wait on the Lord, things work out so much better than when I bulldoze ahead. Part of waiting is meaning that I learn to turn the other cheek. I need to forgive the person who has wronged me. I need to wait on God. And sometimes that's tough to do. I found out that the only way that I can turn the other cheek is out of a fear for the salvation of my own soul. Turning the other cheek, forgiving that other person, is our most powerful soul-saving witness to the world. Back to Proverbs 16:6. "In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil." This is how we depart from evil, how we turn away from evil, the fear of the Lord and the desire to save our own souls from hell. That is our most powerful incentive for turning the other cheek, for forgiving the other person. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15 is where Jesus says — these are tough words, but they're important words — Jesus says, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Here it comes. If you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. We reap what we sow. If we do not forgive other people their sins, if we do not turn the other cheek, our Father in heaven will not forgive our sins. On this road to peace this morning, we've committed our works to the Lord so that our thoughts could be established. We've set our pride aside, and we've determined to turn the other cheek and trust vengeance into God's hands. We've learned that we really can repent and turn from our sins when we learn to fear the Lord and pray for our souls to be saved from hell. Step number 4 on the road to peace for a Christian who has walked this far with Jesus: quit second-guessing yourself. If you have turned to Jesus for salvation, trust Jesus to lead you, and trust Jesus to have no intention of ever leaving you. Jesus will lead you. Jesus will never leave you. Start asking the Lord to lead you each morning, and at the end of the day, trust that God has led you. If you feel that you've lost money because you follow Jesus, or if you're afraid to tithe, trust God to lead you and provide for you. You can trust God to lead you and never leave you. Proverbs 16:1 says, "The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." That means that it's up to us to prepare our hearts to stay close to Jesus each day. And we do that through our daily devotions. We do that through reading our Bible. We do that through prayer. We do that with worshiping together. And the Lord will lead us to do what He wants us to do and to say what He tells us to say. Proverbs 16, verse 9 says, "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his path." It's up to us to make our own decisions and our own plans of what we'll do each day. We need to ask the Lord to lead us and bless us in all that we decide to do. And it's important also to ask the Lord to redirect our steps if the Lord wants to do that in our lives. Sometimes the Lord will lead us to do or say something that we had not planned on doing or saying. But if we've asked the Lord to lead us, don't lose sleep worrying about what the Lord has led you to do. Don't second guess yourself, and don't second guess God. When you've asked the Lord to lead you and bless you in what you do, at the end of the day, trust that the Lord has led you. Step number 5. Boy, there's a lot of steps on this road to peace with God, isn't there? And nobody ever said it would be easy. This next step on the road to God's peace is in how to choose your friends. Our relationships with other people can be wonderful and supportive and filled with joy and encouragement. Our relationships with others can also cause us no end of heartache and grief. The Bible says to befriend, the Bible never says to be friends with everyone that you meet. What the Bible says is in Hebrews 12:14, make every effort to live in peace with all people. Pursuing peace, living in peace with all people, means that we need to do our best to live in peace with everyone. But don't choose everyone as your friend. Psalm 1:1 says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk to the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers." That means don't listen to them, don't stand with them, don't sit with them. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. I've seen that time and again. It seems that often we are influenced more by people who are not Christ followers than people who are. The Bible tells us to choose for ourselves people who are friends, people who are of good character and integrity. Choose for ourselves people who encourage us in our faith and in our love for God. One of Paul's favorite expressions is, Christian or no, friend or foe, people are people wherever you go. Well, that's true. In the church, there are all kinds of people. Some people in the church are of good character and integrity. And truth be told, in the church, there are some people who are of poor character and without integrity. There's no getting around it. People are people wherever you go. As Christ followers, be careful. Choose your friends wisely because the Bible tells you to. Wherever you are, including in the church, choose as your friends people who are honest, people who have integrity, people who are moral, people who follow the words of the Bible and trust God as their Savior. Proverbs 17:4 says, an evildoer gives heed to false lips. A liar listens eagerly to a spiteful tongue. Bad company really does corrupt good character. Ask God to lead you. Ask God to help you choose your friends carefully and prayerfully and wisely, and you will find peace in your heart, and you will have peace with God. Number 6, peace is a fruit of the Spirit which we must pursue and cultivate in each of our lives. There is also a peace that God gives us. And you can read in John 14:17 where Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and neither let them be afraid. We often hear this at funerals. These are words from Jesus. They are promises to us of peace that he gives us. And the peace that Jesus gives us is peace that the world cannot understand. It's a peace that the world cannot give us. And it's in Jesus that we find peace for our souls, nowhere else. I know people who have received this perfect peace from God. And they've told me about it as they've prepared to face a serious surgery in a hospital. And while they were waiting for that surgery to begin, they've had that perfect peace from God. Jesus tells us to be at peace in our souls because the Almighty Lord is in control of all of the details of our world. We really can trust the Almighty God to provide for all of our needs, including our financial needs. The Lord is in control of all of the details of our individual lives, and the Almighty God does not miss anything. Thanks be to God. That's all I have to say about peace. The next fruit of the Spirit is patience. Patience means to trust the Lord to work in your life and in the lives of others in God's way and in God's time. Patience is sometimes in short supply in the world today. Patience is a virtue that God gives us as we allow God to be in control instead of taking charge of a situation in our own way and in our own time. Perseverance is how we live while we actively and obediently wait to see the rewards that God brings to our patience. One of the scriptures from this morning was from the New Testament letter of James. And in that letter, it's a short letter, James assures his readers that God is at work. God is completing the plan that he has for our lives. And so our job is not to just sit and wait for God to do what he does. Our job is to be patient and persevere in our obedience and faithfulness. Don't give up. Don't quit. We are cooperating with God's plan for our lives, but also we continue to persevere so that we will be able to receive the rewards of our faithful obedience to God's salvation, to God's work, to God's blessings that he has in store for all of us. As Christians, our job is to show people the patience of God. That starts at home. Patience is a major part of our faith. James 5, 7 and 8 commands us to be patient until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Colossians 3, 12 and 13 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. 2 Timothy 2 through chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, we are commanded, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. We have to be patient when we receive instruction. We need to be patient when we give instruction as well. And then Timothy goes on to say, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to say. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Don't be tricked into turning away from the Bible. 2 Peter 3, 8 and 9 reminds us to be patient and assures us that Jesus will soon return. Peter says, do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Patience is a major part of our faith. Bearing the fruit of the Spirit called patience is how we stand on the promises of God. Here's a method that I've learned to help me to stand on the promises of God. Maybe it'll help you too. First is to find a verse in the Bible that pertains to whatever situation you're in. Find a Bible verse with a promise in it. And then believe that promise while you wait for God to fulfill his promise to you. And then three, continue to actively obey God while you wait for God's promise to be fulfilled. As Christ followers, we are to keep on living, keep on working, keep on fulfilling our obligations to God and people while we actively wait for God to fulfill his promises to us. Remind God that you're waiting on him. God loves to hear your voice. God can teach you patience in whatever situation that you're in. I've learned that if I'm not willing to learn from God and to learn from other people, I never will, and God won't be able to teach me. God can teach us through anyone. God can even teach us through our worst enemies. Have the heart of a student. Be willing to learn. The bottom line is this. When we're too busy for God, we're too busy. We need to be nourished by God's word. We need to seek God. We need to seek God's face. We need to be studying his only written word, the Bible. We need to be praying. We need to be worshiping together with other believers. We need to be engaged in the study of God's word. It's time to tell Jesus you love him. It's time to seek Jesus' face and tell him that you want to just be near him, just to be close to God. God has been patiently waiting for you. Now's a really good time to turn to Jesus and ask him to give you his peace and his patience in your heart. That's all I have to say about that. Glory to God.